Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello and welcome to Do Go On, a podcast where we talk about facts and hopefully things related to those facts. My name is Dave Warnke, fact number one. I'm here with co-host Jess Perkins. Is it a fact, Jess?
That's a fact.
It's a fact. And we're also joined by Matt Stew underscore art fact. That's your Twitter handle. Hello, Matt. How are you?
Yeah, I'm really good. Thanks, Dave. And that is a fact.
That's a fact.
It's not a fun fact, though.
No, that was quite a dull fact. And I'm having a good time, Jess.
I'm sorry
that wasn't fun for you.
Well, hopefully at the end of this show
you
we'll
are
be...
a piece of work. A real bloody piece of work.
Mm-hmm. Are we going to be wrapping up the show with fun facts? Is that going to be a thing?
Look, I got to the end of the report and I'm like, I really like ending with fun facts. And I tried, I squeezed a couple out.
Forced fun facts are just
I'm
not
I'm
going
to change the name there just to remember that. Forced fun facts.
They may still be good, but they won't be as fun.
No. And that is a fact. They're no Perko fun factos.
No.
Ugh. Does anyone call you Perko?
Yeah. Lots of people.
Really? Hey, mm-hmm. Perko.
Yeah. Perky. JP.
Perky.
JP, the big bopper.
Big bop.
Ah, the big bop.
Dave calls big bop.
So, Matt, it is your turn to present a report that will be ending in forced fun facts. We often start, and when I say often, all the time. We start with a question to get us on topic. Matt, what have we got?
All right, guys. The question to you is, in your minds, what is the happiest place on earth?
The happiest...
Bed.
Oh, yeah, bed's pretty good. What about the couch, but I've got blue cheese on a biscuit?
Ooh.
Oh, wow.
Pretty good.
Anywhere you've got blue cheese on a biscuit, really.
Yeah, exactly.
Bed
with blue cheese on a biscuit. What a combo.
Yeah, no, you can't top it. So that is my answer.
If you could change the couch to a banana lounge and the blue cheese to a hard cheddar, keep the biscuit, but add...
Yes.
An espresso martini.
Hello.
And change the setting to a Greek island beach. You're getting warmer, but that's
all
way
of
off
it,
topic.
Was that a clue about the topic?
No, I was just having a daydream about my happy place.
Have you ever been to that happy place, or have you been to a Greek island?
I've been to a Greek island. Yeah,
have
part
you
of that.
Drunk an espresso martini on a banana lounge.
No, I would have had some sort of a. I think they were called Moomoos. I was drinking a lot of Moomoos or Noonoos or something. Is there a cocktail called a Moomoo?
Maybe.
Possibly Greek. Is that Greek for mojito?
While I was there, I did not see or hear any people talking Greek. Talking Greek. It was just like...
You heard no Greek.
Heard no Greek. The Greek islands are like super touristy, I guess. So it's just everyone there's...
I believe there's like hundreds of them. You could have gone to a non...
Yeah, I went to all of them.
Yep.
All of them.
Wow.
No, I went to two of them, and probably the two most touristy ones.
Which were?
Eos and Santorini.
Ooh.
Anyway, we've got... But the question is, what is the happiest place on Earth? This one's... It's actually the tagline
Is that
an official thing.
I would say...
Have you heard of it?
Ready together? Do you want to say together?
One, two, three...
Disneyland/world.
World,
yeah. Disneyland.
We're doing Disneyland.
Yeah,
Disneyland.
Good one.
And but in particular, really, it's the opening of Disneyland.
Ooh.
Oh, very cool.
I only read about this kind of recently because it was I've really just started reading about it in the last couple of weeks, and this one came out of the hat from a listener named Evan.
Thank you, Evan.
Evan, a big Disney fan, apparently.
Yeah, a Disneyland fan.
Was he trying to expose it?
His wasn't about the opening, it was about Disneyland, and I started doing the report about the opening, and then...
That's all you got? Well, that's fine. I think it's fun
pages out of it.
To get a microcosm of the Disneyland story.
Yeah, and it was interesting because I pulled out a double out of the hat, because I physically cut them up and put them into things, so I had to do a redraw.
Okay. Oh,
what was Disneyland one of the two? Or?
It was one of the two.
Okay, yeah. So it makes sense then.
Yeah. So we had another listener, Cecil, and he was so close.
Oh, Cecil.
Sorry, Cecil.
Next time. But we're talking Disneyland for Evan this week. Now, have you been to Disneyland, Matt?
I've never been.
Jess?
Have you guys been?
I have.
Yeah?
I've been to Disneyland in California and Paris.
Oh, Disneyland Paris. I've been to Disneyland, California.
Yeah, right. Well, Anaheim. That's the one. Anaheim, yep. Yeah. So I've never had any interest in going. I reckon after reading about it a bit, I'd like to go and see, because it's pretty amazing. I ended up... I'll talk about this in a bit, but they broadcast live on the opening day.
Wow.
And that is all on YouTube. It's like an hour... It was an hour and a half special, but without ads on YouTube, it's like an hour and 10 minutes.
What?
Did you watch it?
I watched it, yeah. It's amazing. It was because it was opened in 1955. We didn't even have TV in Australia then.
Came out the next year, didn't it? TV,
yeah, 56. Yeah. We're coming up to the 60-year anniversary. Does that make it?
Yeah.
But, so obviously Disneyland had its 60th last year. But, yeah, I was surprised. And it was a pretty good broadcast. It was
multi-camera?
Multi-camera. They had 20-odd cameras there.
Wow.
That so is they were crossing between three hosts.
Wow.
And it was just really quick cuts and stuff. There was a few, because it was live as well, and there were a few little muck-ups, but for the most part...
Was it much like our live special from the Royal Melbourne show?
It was a little bit like that. Mm-hmm. It was a little bit like that.
Really planned, very well
rehearsed. Just for context, you guys did a...
Oh, man, it was so well rehearsed, the Disney one. Our one. We talked about it as we were going to air. I haven't missed the first segment because I went to get a coffee.
I had to do a live ad, like tease ahead of the broadcast.
And this is on a local.
This is on community
station,
TV.
Station channel 31.
Yep. Yeah, and it's on YouTube if you want to watch it. It's live at the show with Matt and Jess. Probably don't watch it. Actually.
If you want to see two people who can hardly hear each other because of all the loud show noises, trying to get through a live broadcast.
Matt tells some pigs to fuck off.
I don't think I was allowed to tell them to fuck off.
You didn't say fuck off.
I think I bailed on that.
I think you said something like, get out of here,
you could probably see me changing the wording in the moment.
It's great. So, yeah, I'm assuming it's a similar sort of broadcast for the live.
Similar quality.
Mm.
Yeah, but this one was like super well choreographed and stuff.
Any celebrities?
Yeah, in the Dodgem car, not Dodgem cars, but there was this segment where there was some a car, like little cars, sort of like Dodgem cars, but it was like a little track. And Frank Sinatra was in one car, followed by Sammy Davis Jr.
What sort of chasing him down?
Yeah, they
That's
were
really
and they
cool.
just stopped and they were like they had a quick chat. So as he went by, they sort of put the microphone in Frank Sinatra's face.
That's
I was
awesome.
Like, what the fuck? That was really cool.
Cool.
That's real cool.
But I'll talk about that in a bit. Let's go through it
from the beginning.
So Walt Disney is obviously the man. It's funny that he's a real person because I just think of Disney as like
a massive conglomerate.
Yeah, it's a conglomerate, but it was just this one guy. Did you know that?
I covered that on the Mary Poppins episode.
You did
too.
Yeah.
This is a bit of crossover. No, but I, you know what I think is funny is like you think of the word Disney as like a made up word, like a brand, and then you're like, oh no, that was just somebody's name.
Yeah, just
like
some
if guys. I really worked hard, Perkins could be some kind of magical world.
Yeah, it's like
Perkins Land.
Perkins Land. Imagine. It's like Yamaha, and I think Yamaha was a family name. Toyota definitely
Ford.
Was.
Ford was.
Yeah, and it's weird to think of them as... Because they're all weird names as well. Like,
is Ford a weird name?
I don't know any Fords. Oh, no, I do know Matt Ford. Ford.
Matt Ford.
I know Matt Ford. But I don't know anyone else. Harrison Ford, all right. But apart Ford's from that...
Ford's a weird name.
Well, I mean, weird, it's an unusual name. It's not that common, is it?
I feel like it'd be more common than Warnocky.
All right, fair point.
Thanks, everyone.
But how many Toyotas do you know? You're going to tell me, you know...
I don't know anybody.
I've got a mate called Gary Toyota, my neighbour.
I don't know a single Toyota.
I don't know why you're talking with that weird accent, Jess, in my act out there, but...
Very offensive, I'm sorry.
No.
Hey, no one's voice sounds the same when they hear it back, so that's actually what you sound like.
Is that what I sound? Wow. Yeah. I didn't know.
It wasn't meant to be offensive, but, you know...
I think the listener will struggle to differentiate between the two of you with that.
Hey, my neighbour...
And what if she was English?
Good day.
My neighbour, so bad.
Is, Gary Toyota.
that was like Greek at the end.
Oh boy, I've got three words into my report, and all right. It's already gone off the rails. Out of the three of us, my reports are always the loosest. You guys are so much... I'm like a loose guy. And I'm happy to...
You can't be tamed.
And I'm happy to just go with the flow on things. But you and Dave, especially, and Jess, to a lesser extent, are happy to bring it back.
Yeah, happy to have a laugh. But at the same time, I've written a 4,000-word report. Yeah. I'm talking through it. Yeah.
Whereas I'm usually just hungry. Yeah. So I want to get through it so I can go. Usually bored with you.
Whereas I've got nowhere to be.
Yeah, and you're like a toddler that's just like, oh, shiny thing.
Yeah.
So if we distract you with a tangent, you go with the tangent, and then we have to go, okay, Matt, back to the report.
Yeah, that's why I do three paragraph reports, and Dave does 25-page reports.
That's right. Each also with many paragraphs, because I'm quite good at layout.
But you can also, you can hear the difference in the quality of reports, obviously. Though.
You definitely can. Dave's episodes are much better.
Dave's episodes are very, very good.
But this one, I'm pretty happy with this one. I found this story. Do you guys know much about the opening of...
A little bit. I think I heard that he... actually, didn't he use some of the money from... Nope, that's wrong. He used the money from something.
Yes, he did. He used the money from something. Jess, when you said you knew a bit about it, I'm like, what, how much could you really know? But it turns out that's quite an extensive bit of knowledge. Well,
it's pretty impressive, to be honest. All right. Did you plan on doing this report?
Okay, smart ass. Please go on with your fun little report. Oh,
I think we finally got to a thing where Jess has also written a report on the topic, which is awkward because she seems to know so much about it. I don't know much at all, Matt.
Well, I'll direct this mainly to you, Dave.
You go on, Matt, and I'll jump in with my facts, which you'll inevitably forget because my reports are much better researched.
Yeah.
Matt, I'm going to tell you to please do go on.
Sure, okay.
I'm going to tell you to do go fuck yourself.
No, I think that's fair. So Walt Disney used to take his daughters to visit a local amusement park called Griffith Park in Los Angeles. And as his daughters enjoyed the rides, he would sit on a bench with the other parents, watching them eating peanuts, apparently, and just thinking to himself, you know, this is great for them, but what about the parents?
We've only got peanuts.
Yeah, we've only got peanuts and sitting.
What a ride. What a time to be alive.
And apparently that was where the idea sort of came about.
So it was quite a selfish idea then, in a way, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's funny. It's like... what's in it for the parents? You know, apart from watching your kids have a great time, you know, enjoying your kids having a good day. Come on, Walt.
I want to have fun. Maybe try spending time with your children, talking to them, engaging with them.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, put down the peanut and push a swing, you prick. Bastard.
So it was around that time that he started dreaming of building his own theme park. And in his mind, it would be a new kind of theme park where parents and their children could all enjoy it together.
All have a good time.
Rather than just, you know, the parents taking them there. And
we've all obviously dreamt of building our own theme park, sure. But only some of us have enough money.
Me, yes.
And influence to build one. That's right, Jess and Walt Disney is what you have in common. The multi-millions.
Well, as it turned out, he probably didn't have... money, but
yeah, so he had to get the money from something.
Scandal.
See? Yeah, he did. He had to get the money from something. Fact. He often received letters from fans asking if they could come and visit his studios in Burbank, California. But he felt that there was nothing
to see.
Nothing to see there.
It's like a factory in like sadness.
Yeah, that's right. So it's like, well, I think you probably imagine this is a more fun place than it actually is in reality.
Mm.
And that started his idea of building a theme park adjacent to his studios in Burbank. And originally it was going to be called Mickey Mouse Park.
Oh.
No, that was...
Lame.
But I guess, you know...
Well, I think that's all right. It's his biggest character.
Yeah, that's totally...
Is that what Mickey Mouse Park sounds like, Jess?
Yes.
Is that because... Yeah. No, that's fair. Because it feels like the guy going, I want a park where I can have fun too. That doesn't... It's not too surprising that he ended up putting his own name in there.
Yeah. You know what it sounds like?
Well, yes, if we wanted to get technical, but I thought that we were trying to keep this as a layman's podcast where everyone can enjoy it, yeah, much like just, Disneyland.
You are.
He does his little, like, eyebrows and point.
Yeah, he does. He loves a point, but he normally does a click with his point.
There it is.
Because I think that's good for the listeners, will know whenever you're pointing as well. Yeah. Even though you said to us off air that your girlfriend hates it.
Oh, I click all the time. I click in rhythms, clicking... At the butcher, pound of steak, thanks.
Pound of steak, thanks.
Yeah, that's right. That's very confusing for all. Especially me. I don't eat steak.
That's the best.
But so if you are out there and you hear a click, I am just imagine me doing pointing. A point and raising my eyebrow slightly.
Hmm.
Nice. All right, please, Matt, do go on. Sorry.
So
Mickey Mouse World, was it?
Mickey Mouse Park. But as his plans developed, they got bigger and bigger in his mind. The plans soon outgrew the 8 acres available at the Burbank site.
So it's obviously that sounds big, but I think we'll find the real Disneyland's what, hundreds of acres.
Yes. Is that correct? Oh no, not hundreds, but it's a lot bigger than eight anyway.
Like eight, they would have had like a small Shetland pony farm and a statue of Mickey. That's about it.
So
exactly.
So when his daughters were, he was taking them to the park.
Diane, one of his daughters was called Diane.
Diane, yes. I was going to write that down, and I'm like, no one gives a fuck about
Disney's. Diane Disney, DD, we all know her.
I wonder if that's my mum. She's Diane. Do you think?
Yeah, probably. How many Dianes?
I'm directly related to Walt Disney?
Through.
Oh my God, what a way to find out.
You're directly related, yeah, as in his grandson is what you would be.
Yeah.
That's quite direct. I really should go see his little park.
You should go to the Burbank
Take
studios.
An interest in Grandpapa's work.
I agree.
That is amazing. Yeah, cool. I wonder who my granddad was that I spent all that time with growing up. It's weird. Anyway, I bet there's a story there. I'm going to ask Mum after this. I'll call her as soon as
we stop. Diane!
Why didn't you ever tell me that...
Your father was Walt Disney.
Walt Disney? That feels like that would have come up.
Where are all our millions of dollars?
Yeah, this is fucked, Mum.
How am
you
I...
What else are you hiding?
How am I the only one on the podcast that hasn't been to Disneyland, Mum? Answer me that.
This is BS.
Diane.
Get in for free.
So...
Or at least two for one.
So he was taking his daughters in the... I think late 30s into the 40s, I think it was around those times. So
yeah, your mum was quite old.
And the park didn't start until the 50s, mm-hmm. 55. So there was a bit of a time. And the delay supposedly was things like the Second World War happened.
Ugh, selfish.
Stuff like that.
Ugh. We're trying to build a fucking theme park and you have to go and have a war.
Yeah.
No, let's bomb each other. So, I'm going to do that a lot.
We can tell.
New catchphrase.
Yeah.
What happened to... Well? because of things like that, the idea was put on the back burner. But in the 1950s, it was time. It was time to begin.
Walt's time to shine.
Yeah. First, they had to find a location. And he had a small checklist, and he got a company on to find him this place. The checklist was that it had to be at least 100 acres... And also located within a freeway drive of LA. So easy access by road.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
A site was found. It was a 160-acre orange orchard in Anaheim, California.
Oh.
The thing that we already said, and we were, you guys have both been there.
Yeah.
But thanks for making that sound like you were interested in the point. The park cost $17 million.
What?
Wow, which
was
in 55.
Heaps of money in 55. And that was an amount of money that Walt didn't have.
Oh, weird.
I mean, he was a rich and famous guy, so he had money, but he just didn't have that kind of crazy money.
Mm-hmm.
So he looked to investors, but that proved difficult as investors couldn't see how the project would return a profit.
Is this the story where, because you always hear that Walt went to like 300 different banks or something, but was that for the studios or like his animation work or the actual filmmaking, or was it to build the park?
That did happen for the park. He shopped it around to a lot of people and just couldn't get people interested. But eventually, he made a deal with the ABC television network, and they agreed that they would invest in the park as long as he agreed to produce a show for their network. And he was up for that deal. The show he made was called Disneyland, and the series opened with Walt Disney describing the coming attractions of the Disneyland theme park, followed by previews from upcoming films, some live-action shows, and behind-the-scene footage of animators working and stuff like that.
So, that feels like a really sweet deal for him.
Yeah, because it's like all right, we'll make an ad on one of the main networks, TV networks. Or at the time, it was probably one of the only TV networks.
That seems like a sweet deal.
Yeah, so it advertises his business, and it's what, like a small, cheaply made documentary, and they've had to invest multi-millions.
Well, that I think they only invested about $500,000, but because of their backing, he was able to go to the banks to borrow. And so the show drew a big audience as well, so it was good for everyone. Because of their backing, he was able to borrow a much larger amount of money from the Bank of America, and he also borrowed against his life insurance.
Oof.
So he was up to his eyeballs, basically.
Wow, he really, really...
Yeah,
he
it was, really it was went all for in. It. Yeah.
Rolled the dice.
So
imagine if it all went to shit.
Yeah, and a lot of people thought it's like this is a ridiculous dream. At the time, it seemed pretty crazy.
Were theme parks like this even a thing, or was he sort of the first?
There were theme parks, and he went around the world checking them out to do research. There were plenty around, but this was
not to this scale.
And also, yeah, this was a bit different. It was sort of, supposedly it's the first one that, you know, a lot of the rides are about stories.
Yeah.
And that was a bit different. Normally it was just like, this thing goes around and around.
Yeah, some places have like a 100-year-old wooden roller coasters stuff.
Yep. His dad supposedly went to, or worked at one of those world fairs.
I think
it was in Chicago in the late 1800s. And that had the first Ferris wheel. Potentially, that's where he got some of the inspiration from as well, hearing the stories from his old man.
Wow.
By 1952, the name of the planned park had changed from Mickey Mouse Park to Disneylandia.
Oh, no.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Don't like that either. Disneylandia. Get over it.
Wow. Well, that's... Yeah.
Well, Dislandia makes a bit more sense than Disneylandia.
Disneylandia. Still shit. It's like too much stuff.
Yeah.
Disney?
No good.
And I don't think it works at all. But apparently he was talked out of that by some people at the ABC.
Oh.
And by the time that the work on the site commenced 2 years later...
So it took 2 years to get all the money and everything ready, the plans.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, even longer than that. But yeah, that was
from buying
the pointy end, yeah. And the Disneyland name had been settled upon by then. In July 1954, around almost exactly a year before the opening date, which was pretty much locked in. Yeah, that's when they started constructing the site. And
with 12 months on the clock.
12 months
on
the clock.
That's like worse than the Brazil Olympics.
Yeah, and basically it was not enough time.
Really?
Yeah.
But have they started selling tickets and advertising the TV show and stuff?
I think the TV show was, what a great way to build up hype for something, though, having a successful TV show that was kind of all about it.
Yeah, awesome.
So we skip ahead. There, obviously...
Just building.
There's a few time-lapse videos online, which you can see
of
things going up, which is kind of cool.
And do they build a lot at the start, or is it expanded a lot?
Well, the site hasn't changed much. Over the years, they built over the original car park. So it has expanded a fair bit, but it was, they started out with a, as a pretty big thing. There were the four, do you know, the four original sort of sections?
Yeah.
It was Tomorrowland, Frontierland, Adventureland, and Fantasyland.
Yeah.
And I think, I mean, I don't know, like Disneyland is a thing that I just don't know anything about, but I think there's new ones of those now. You've been there.
Mm.
What is it still, do those four things still exist?
It is in, yeah, it's still those four in Paris.
Yeah,
which is the most recent one I went to. I went to Anaheim when I was 8.
Right,
okay. It was a long time ago.
Oh my God. I also went in 1998.
Get out.
Did you go in
September 98, I was there.
You guys are the same person. Yeah. At some point you split off from each other.
I'm trying to think. I wouldn't be able to lock down a time. I'll have to ask my parents. Yeah.
That's so weird.
1998. Did you go on the Indiana Jones ride? My family went on that about 15 times. It was so good.
I think so.
Wonder if that's still there.
Probably. I went on the E.T. ride, and you sit in the front of the, and there's a, you're on bikes, and E.T. was in the basket of my bike. Oh, so funny. I was like, I've got the E.T. bike.
So the E.T. ride was just a bike, and what you rode around it.
See how good their marketing is, and Jess is still talking about it.
I've never actually been to Disneyland. My parents just gave me a bike when I was 8.
And they
look, Jess, Disneyland.
They put an alien mask on a cabbage patch kid.
Yeah.
Chuck it in the front.
They
didn't even get an E.T. doll.
No, we're not going to...
Come on, Annie. Come on, Annie P.
Annie P.
All right, well, so let's skip... We'll skip ahead through that year to opening day, because this is what I wanted to talk about mainly.
So opening day, but are they freaking out about it?
Yeah, there's a bit of panic leading up to the day. They're rushing, like things are being painted on the morning.
Oh, man, that's great.
Yeah, but let's go through how the day went. The opening day was actually the day before it was open to the public. The day before, which is what is now seen as the official opening. That's where all their anniversaries are and stuff. That's when the broadcast was on ABC. But it was an invite-only day.
Ooh, exclusive.
I read two numbers, either 6,000 or 12,000.
Wow, that's a lot of invites.
Invites were sent out. For opening day, and they were given there were staggered times to sort of give it a soft start.
Oh, so you can morning, afternoon type thing?
Yeah, exactly. And that was also meant to, you know, because it was everyone working there, it was their first day. Everyone was learning how it all
how
worked.
How to make popcorn and fairy floss.
Yeah, exactly. And how the rides worked and, you know, I imagine just everything.
Surely the rides must have had a lot of testing though, right?
Yeah,
roller coaster safety.
That would have had
and
some testing for sure.
What about so this 6 or 12,000? Either way, it's a lot of people. Are they VIPs or friends of the workers?
It's a bit of a mix. You've got it was kind of a press day, so there was a lot of members of the press. There were celebrities like Frank Sinatra and stuff like that. Dignitaries, sponsors like representatives of some of the sponsors. Pepsi was a big sponsor. They had an exclusive right to the soda pop or whatever they call it in America. Some of the construction workers, which is cool. And, I mean, they were there anyway, still finishing it, so
made sense. Well. Hey, mate, you're invited. I'm painting a fence.
Yeah. When you're done with the fence, you should have a go at this ride.
Come on over a hot dog. I've got to paint that hot dog van.
I think I said paint that hot dog.
I've got to paint that up.
And that...
Yeah, they see someone eating a hot dog. No, it's not finished yet. Smash it out of their hand, out of Frank Sinatra's hand. The chairman of the board.
Frank. So that, like a hot dog.
Frankenfurt Sinatra.
That's where he got the nickname.
Of course.
His actual name's Gary.
Gary Sinatra.
For that day, yeah. They started calling him Frank Sinatra. Cool. Yeah, interesting. So those 6,000 to 12,000 people, let's say 6,000 because I saw that more. 6,000 people actually kind of ballooned out. Back then... The tickets, which were the invites for the tickets, it was, believe it or not, pre-barcodes and you know, holograms and those sort of things you see on tickets these days. So they were pretty easily forged, meaning that around 22,000 extra people rocked up.
Oh, no. What did that someone just wrote? One ticket signed Walt Disney. Here it is. So, mate, I just saw you write that out in front of me. It says Walt Disney.
Yeah. I was like,
come
right.
on in.
Yeah. All right, mate. Can't argue with that. So their sort of smallish start ended up just becoming a crazy amount bigger than they want it to be. More, way more people than they were ready to handle.
So I imagine, you know how you said at the start, they want it to be small because people are learning their job. The people that need to learn their job are probably the ticketing staff.
Yeah.
From this soft start. They're not doing so well.
I think the forgeries were very good. Like, you couldn't tell. So it was sort of hard. You just had to let them in. And people who bought them were buying them off. They probably didn't realize either, necessarily.
Oh, so some people were forging them and then selling them rather than everyone forging their own tickets. So you'd be like, oh, cool, $5 tickets. Sure, I'll come. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Some sweet entrepreneurial skills being learnt there. Also, apparently there was a guy, another entrepreneur, who had a ladder. And he was charging a couple of bucks for people to climb over using his ladder to get in. So there were.
How long does that last before security notices?
Well, they had other shit to deal with.
Yeah, 22,000 other people.
That's great.
So the huge crowd meant that arriving times kind of went out the window. Everyone wanted to get there early anyway. So it was just, the queues were crazy. Inside the park for rides and everything, but also outside the park just to get in. And there was a 7-mile traffic jam on the Santa Ana freeway.
7 miles?
Yeah, just a car park on the freeway.
Oh.
And supposedly that the traffic in Southern California is awful, but apparently even for their standards, it was...
like, real bad.
Brutal.
Wow.
They had this thing, I don't exactly get how this happened, but... I read it a few times. The celebrity guests were scheduled to arrive every 2 hours. But somehow, because of the traffic, it ended up that they all got there at the same time.
Well, at midnight.
Yeah.
Like 6 hours too late, Marilyn Monroe steps out of the car. Oh, God.
Classic Marilyn.
I was reading the lists of the celebrities. For the most part, I was like, I have no idea who any of these people are.
Oh, really?
Because so it was 60 years ago.
So yeah.
But you can't remember. Yeah, but like, there's no
Bieber
like...
Bieber wasn't there or...
Weird.
It's like weird, yeah.
JTT.
Juzzy T. Oh, JTT.
He was there. Jonathan Taylor Thomas.
Of course he was.
Representing.
He was a big Disney movie guy, wasn't he? He was Simba in The Lion King.
He was young Simba.
He was young Simba. Fact. Do you know who JTT is?
Yes, I do. I'm you the same age as Dave.
Jonathan Taylor Thomas from Home Improvement, if you're younger than us.
Randy?
Oh?
Was he Randy or Brad?
Randy.
Randy.
Brad was the jerk. I didn't like
Brad. What a 90s name, Brad.
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 Brad was a dickhead.
But Randy? Happy with Randy?
What was the little brother's name? There was three of them.
Toby?
No.
Tim Jr.?
Yeah, Tim Jr.
Tim Jr.
Definitely.
Sorry, of course.
Tiny Tim. So do you remember any other celebs apart from Sammy Davis and Frank Sinatra?
They were the only, well, I only noticed them from the broadcast. They were the only, like, the hosts were naming people all over the place. I'm like, no idea who that is. A lot of them were governors and stuff, you know, politicians. And
yeah.
I'm sure at the time it was like, whoa.
Yeah, I think it was a big deal. Like, if you've got Frank Sinatra just going around on a little car, then,
yeah,
you know, who are the big guys going around on the saucepans or whatever? Saucepans?
Yeah.
Dishes.
Cups.
Teacups.
Teacups.
Teacup ride.
I was going, cups and saucers.
Did I say saucepans?
Yeah, you did.
Fucking idiot. I'm so dumb.
I want to go out of the saucepans. So
because of the huge crowd, the restaurants and kiosks were well and truly understocked, and a lot of them ran out of food and drink quickly. Yeah.
Oh, shit.
So many people. Huge lines to get food and...
It sounds like a badly run music festival, doesn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah.
It does. The port-a-loos were overflowing. Yeah. There was no food, no shade, no sunscreen.
But of course the first day went badly, you know, like as if it was going to be smooth sailing.
Totally.
And nobody had to line up for anything ever.
Oh, look, I agree that there were probably, there was always going to be some issues. There's always teething issues. But this is like, I've only just started the list of things
yeah,
that do
it.
So it was a pretty amazing amount of things. A lot of it was bad luck as well. You
okay.
Know? So for instance, the day was unusually hot, hitting over 100 degrees Fahrenheit, which is around 38 degrees Celsius.
Ooh,
which
hot.
Was hotter than they were used to, certainly back then, you know, with
global warming.
Global warming now. I mean, it's always 38 degrees, but around that time and place, that was unusual. They were in a real hot spell.
Heat wave. Nice. Yeah, just
double click.
That was good.
We clicked at the same time.
You are the same. You're the same person. Yeah, in a rush to get the park ready, the asphalt was only poured for Main Street, USA. I saw something saying that morning, which can't be true. No. I heard other people say that a day or so before.
Just still not enough
time. So pretty fresh.
Where are they putting it?
Main Street. So it's the main... Main Street, USA.
Where they do the parades and stuff. Yeah. Yep.
And because of the crazy heat...
Oh, did it start melting?
It started melting and turning into a sticky tar, which was swallowing ladies' high heel shoes. So just
getting stuck in there. Well, don't wear high heels to a theme park.
Yes. Which apparently high heels, that's just what people wore back then.
Yeah.
Particularly ladies. But yeah. That's what people wore out to the theme parks. It seems amazing.
Just in their heels, dresses.
Watching the footage, it was just like people were dressed up like they were going to, you know, a dinner party or something. Some sort of formal event.
Everyone did dress up more back then, though.
Yeah.
Like when I went to Disneyland, maybe we should put up photos of ourselves at Disneyland too.
Oh, I'll find that. That'd be pretty funny. Some.
I've got one of me. I'm in shorts and sneakers because I mean business that day. Like I've got... places to be, people.
Yeah, you've got like...
I'm in my comfy clothes.
Wearing a nappy. No toilet stuff for me.
My hair is up. It will not get tangled in the wind and the rides.
I've got a hat for sun smart protection.
Yep. You got to be smart.
You got to be.
Imagine if we were there on the same day. Just imagine it.
Oh, man.
Oh,
wouldn't
man.
Be so cool
if there's
like,
one of those photos from one of the rides.
Look through our photos of, like, you know, me and my mum standing in front of the castle and then you're just in the background.
Probably throwing a tantrum in the background.
So good. You're this tiny, tiny child. We're the same age, but you're, for some reason, like, half my size.
Well, he is now, so.
Yeah. I probably would be.
Yeah.
Little Davey Warnocky.
The boy who... never grew up.
Boy, you couldn't hold a pencil.
I can hold a pencil now.
Tiny hands. Tiny, tiny hands. Hands are normal. I don't know how they got so normal.
Hands now.
When did your hands have a growth spurt?
Had surgery.
Right.
Hand transplants. These are not the hands I was born with.
Hand augmentation.
That's the technical term. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This podcast is brought to you by Squarespace, the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. Whether it's your first ever website or your business is expanding, Squarespace makes it easy to create a beautiful website and engage with your audience.
Jess, before jumping, Dave, can you say entrepreneurs again? It sounds so good.
Entrepreneurs.
Oh my God.
God, he's good.
Jeez.
If it feels a bit overwhelming to start your own website, don't worry. You can get help with written content on your website with Squarespace AI. Generating instant, personalized results that know and show your brand identity. You explain what your site's about, you choose your tone, you enter what you need, and you get short and long form text. How cool is that?
Oh my God, can Squarespace just do my life?
It'd be good if it could do my taxes.
Hey, you can easily manage your clients and invoices. Two things that I definitely have, from vetting leads to receiving payment via invoices in one streamlined and customizable workflow.
Sorry, Matt, can you pronounce streamlined for me again?
Streamlined.
Beautiful.
Was that closer?
Yeah, in that it was the word.
Okay.
And not streamlined. You can also sell exclusive content on your site by adding a paywall to sell membership or courses, or you can sell files that your customers can download, like PDFs, music, ebooks.
Right, Jess, can I just get you to say the word courses again?
Courses.
Nailed it. Head to squarespace.com/dogoon for a free trial and to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/dogoon.
Oh my God. So are we getting to a point where you're thinking this is not a good day, like particularly
it's,
bad?
Yeah, it's not sounding like a good day.
I guess it's especially bad for Disneyland because they're making no money because no one's paid, but it's also good because people can't really complain, can they? Because their shoes are being swallowed.
But do you think, I don't know if you've come across any journalists in the past reviewing a thing?
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah. probably and it's mostly
press.
Yeah.
And then they would be pretty savage about it, actually. Yeah.
And also, so I'm thinking in terms of being one of the people visiting the park, I'd be a little bit deterred because it'd be like, well, there's no food and my feet are sinking and it's a bit shit. And also, as Walt Disney, he'd be like, I'm not, this is not going well at all.
Well, the funny thing is that Walt was totally unaware of all the issues because he was a big part of the live broadcast, and apparently he didn't find out till much later that it was a disaster.
Well, he was thinking, guys, that was great. Yeah. How good was that?
I mean, if you watch the broadcast, it all went pretty smoothly. It looks pretty, to me, it was amazing, but amazing is not the right word.
Is it in black and white?
I was surprised how smooth it all went. Even though there were a few issues, which I'll talk about, even on the broadcast, but they were relatively minor. Or actually, one of them's a bit fucked. But anyway, talk about that in a sec. Okay, so we've got, you know, overcrowded food stalls,
traffic jam,
oof. Super hot.
People's good Sunday best are being destroyed.
Yeah,
by sweat. On top of all those things, California had been going through a plumber strike around that time.
Oh, God.
Ended only a day or so before. I mean, I've read this in different ways. Some say that the strike went throughout, but I'm pretty sure it ended just before. And Walt got his team of plumbers back, and he was given the option of either having working toilets in time for the opening or working drinking fountains. And obviously you opt for the working toilets.
Yeah, right?
And that's what he did.
Oh, thank God. I was going to say, what? Please, yeah. Don't choose the drinking fountain.
But it meant that there was no drinking fountains either on a 38-degree day.
Yeah, they're running out of drinks and food and there's a line to get any. Oh, no.
So there's no water in the heat, so people are getting dehydrated and whatnot. Also, another one, there was a gas leak in Fantasyland.
That makes me laugh, especially because on The Simpsons, they have Itchy and Scratchy Land, a parody of Disneyland, and because they like to kill each other, one of them is called Searing Gas Pain Land, one of the areas. Unnecessary Surgery Land is another one. But Searing Gas Pain Land, so that's a...
Yeah, based on a true story.
Oh, no.
So they had to close down big sections of the park different times.
Oh.
I love it because Fantasyland and there's a gas leak. You probably...
Everyone's
tripping. It would make the fantastical rides seem...
even more fantastical.
Yeah. And during all this, there was the live broadcast we're talking about on ABC TV, which I watched last night. And I reckon you should flick through it. The broadcast was hosted by some of Walt's Hollywood mates. So I guess these guys were big stars at the time, but I've only heard of one of them. Art Linkletter was the main host.
Art.
He was great. Like, he was the really way good, he worked under pressure. So good.
Did he remind you of a young you?
Yeah,
from Channel 31?
Like, much like a young me at the show. Bob Cummings, and also a man named Ronnie Reagan.
Ah.
Who went on
to become future president of the United States of America.
Yeah, Ronald Reagan, which is kind of cool.
Very cool.
What?
Yeah, he was one of the co-hosts. And they're like, over to you, Ronnie.
And how was he like?
He was fine, you know. He was good, pretty good at... he was wearing a bow tie, sort of tuxedo get up on a 38-degree day.
That's how professional he is.
Yeah.
Wow.
But I found it pretty fun.
That's cool. That's really, really cool.
Pretty fun. Yeah, that one I found quite interesting. The broadcast had some issues. At one point, Linkletter, sort of late in the broadcast, Linkletter crossed the coverage over to Cummings. So they were sort of separate places in the park and they were throwing to each other.
Mm.
And they were saying stuff like, when they got the throw, and it was pretty clear they had no idea what was being thrown from. They were just like, thanks so much for that, Bob. Really well explained.
They had no idea.
Yeah, just like really vague stuff like, oh yeah, you talked that through beautifully sort of stuff. Like,
thanks,
almost
Bob.
Not worth saying.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Bob. Love your work.
Yeah. But Linkletter crossed the coverage over to Cummings, who wasn't ready. He was on a pirate ship and he wasn't ready.
Are you kidding?
So he was just like,
yay!
And then
thank you for that, Ronnie.
And there wasn't even a shot anywhere near him. He was sort of on a long lens and he sort of figured out what was going on and then he started chatting to, He had some sort of celebrity that I'd never heard of. He was Chandu briefly. He was a kid actor in Treasure Island or something, and he'd grown up a bit. And then he tried to throw back to Linkletter, but found that Linkletter was searching for his mic. And then so Cummings started...
What do you mean, just looking for it?
Yeah, he was sort of running around, and Cummings was sort of going... He's like, I think he can't find his mic, and he sort of started commentating it.
Left it in the haunted house. He's got to run back.
Which, you know, I mean, that is a fairly minor thing. And that were the kind of things where it's like, oh, that's pretty handled pretty professionally. Just sort of not going, oh, shit, what do I do? Yes. Sort of just turned it into a bit of a, what I imagine in the 50s. Some of it, like, I'm like, geez, look at them just freeballing it.
Yeah, wow. It's amazing.
Do they really have, like, earpieces?
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know how the technology was back then.
Have, but... Yeah, I was surprised any of this stuff was possible. Live TV in the 50s. I can't believe anything existed back then. I just thought people were sitting around in barns.
Pirate ships.
Yeah, pirate ships. Imagine amazing.
Food. They had food.
They had food. Well, not much, but some.
I could not.
But no drinking fountains.
Yeah. Yeah.
Surprise, working toilets.
Amazing. I read this one, but I couldn't spot it watching it back. But apparently, in Frontierland at one point, the cameras caught Cummings making out with a dancer, one of the hosts.
Aww. What? Are you kidding?
Yeah. Nice.
But did you?
No, I mean, no, I'm not kidding.
But could you find it?
I couldn't find it, but it's, you know, it's a bit grainy, but a bunch of different sources noted that. Which I was like, oh, he was the younger, I think he would have been the youngest one of the three, and it's like, oh, he's having a crazy time at Disneyland, you know, it's a place where adults and children can have fun, I guess.
Oh, but that's not against the Disney wholesome image though, right?
Yeah, well, that's what I thought. So I read that before watching it, so I was kind of looking for it,
watching it. So, every time Cummings is on, just watching him.
You dirty dog.
When I read it, I assumed that, you know, Cummings would have been a single guy sort of thing. So I was surprised when early on in the coverage that Cummings introduced us to his wife and kids.
They're there.
Yeah, they're there.
And is his wife dancing at all? Or?
No, she looked like she was not in any sort of dancing attire.
Oh, dear.
I couldn't find anything about the fallout from that. It feels like that is...
No good.
Not cool. Yeah. Matt,
for an hour of your life, you know there's a possibility of you being on live TV. Why would you make out with anyone?
Yeah, just was not in a Cummings' work from then on.
That's the reason Matt and I did not make out on that TV show.
Because you knew that it was live.
Yeah, exactly. Both of our wives and kids were there.
I'm so alone.
So yeah, overall though, as I've said, I thought the broadcast was pretty impressive. I was surprised. I was like, it couldn't have been that hot. No one looked like they were under any sort of...
Are most people wearing jackets?
Yeah, everyone sort of dressed up. Yeah, totally.
Wow.
So the some of the press at the time, this was from the Associated Press, said, probably for the first time in his career, Disney disappointed thousands of youngsters. And for years to come, Disneyland workers referred to opening day as Black Sunday.
Wow.
During Walt's lifetime, they didn't count it as an official day of Disneyland. Ooh. It was seen, the official opening was always seen as the day after, but now, after he died and they've sort of moved on from that, they see that as the opening day. So they have their anniversary on the whatever day.
I wonder how they recovered to open again the next day, like just restocking all the food. Trying to get the taps working.
Yeah, we've had people working all night. But at the same time, in my mind, what I'm thinking is no one has ever been to a proper theme park before. Do they know how good it usually runs? Do you know what I mean? Like, they might be like, sure, the asphalt is melting and there's lines for food, but maybe this is just the norm. Like, do you know what I mean? There's nothing to compare it to.
Yeah.
In your mind, no one's ever been to a massive theme park before, so it still probably seems pretty cool in comparison to your boring 1955 life.
And I mean, I've heard of... I listened to a few interviews with people who were there, including there was one guy who was just a kid at the time, and he's like, it's hard to even explain how amazing it was.
Yeah, like it would be amazing, right?
Yeah. It's like... And so another kid at the time was saying they remember seeing Walt Disney there, because his plan was to greet a lot of the people at the gates.
22,000.
But yeah, that wasn't possible. But someone saw him, though, like, he was just looking. It was like, they said, oh, I saw you, I've seen you on the TV. And then, and then they were like, he looked like a giant. They were just mesmerized by this crazy man. It would be weird. Like, imagine, I'm still like, Walt Disney was a real person.
Yeah.
Weird. He, another thing that happened during the broadcast was he started, as they opened each part of the park, he'd read out this little poem sort of thing, or a little blurb, and one of the ones he was reading out, and someone signaled off camera, and he's like, oh, okay, thinking they were saying we're not on air yet, and then he started again, so that, like, there were little blips like
How
that.
Far into it was he? It was a three-page epic poem.
It would
poem.
Have been, you know, 10 seconds in or something. It was sort of, it was a bit awkward, but luckily, I mean, if it was me, I would have been like, oh, fuck. Imagine Walt just like, oh, this is fucked.
Cancel it. Tear it down. Nah. The banks were right.
He just goes out the back and kills himself.
And that was the last we ever heard of Walt Disney.
Just because 10 seconds in, somebody like shooed away a fly and he took it like...
Oh, but my poem's fucked, is it? Yeah. Well, you're all fired.
You're fired. You're double fired.
Yeah, instead of personally greeting people, he just personally fires everyone in the park. Oh, that's
Start
our Walt.
Again. Yeah, that's classic Walt behavior. Wait, what, in this bizarro universe we just...
What if I was to tell you, Matt, that we haven't been recording this whole time? We have to start your report again.
Oh, this is bullshit. You can get fucked. You, Jess Perkins, can fuck off.
That's Matt's impression of Walt Disney there. If he was still alive.
That time Walt Disney told me, Jess Perkins, to fuck off.
Yeah, remember it well. But yeah, interestingly, guests from all over the world seemed to love it. And as we all know, the park became a major success.
Sure did.
90 days later, the 1 millionth guest entered the turnstile.
So a million in 3 months.
Yeah.
That is crazy. That's over 10,000 people a day. Yeah. If it's open 7 days a week, I don't know if it was.
Yeah, well, it is now.
That's a pretty crazy number. So, yeah.
1 million people in 3 months. Imagine if you could make $1 million in 3 months.
But that's the thing. So, he was so far in debt, but all the debts were paid off within really quick amount of time.
Wow.
And, it was a sweet investment. And things like, so he had to sell a lot of things off, like a lot of the shops inside were outside businesses.
Oh.
Just to be able to make it work. Eventually, he took all them over. So they're all Disney shops now. And that was only within a couple of years, he was able to sort of
buy everything back.
Wow.
People were disappointed with some things, like, apart from all those issues, there were also a lot of the rides weren't ready like they should have been. Tomorrowland was hardly ready at all.
Well, it's called Tomorrowland.
Yeah, that's right. Look, it's not called Todayland, fuckheads. Oh, sorry, children.
I always get that confused. Come back tomorrow.
Yeah, fuckheads.
I was listening to an interview with one guy who worked there at the day, and he's just like, it was such a stressful day. And the interviewer was like, how did you feel at the end of the day? And he's like, I'll tell you like this. I got really drunk.
Does that
answer your question?
It was a tough day at work and I went out for an alcoholic beverage. A little unusual, I know. Nobody else does that when they're a bit stressed.
So that's the way we did it in 1955.
It was a different time.
I think if you guys are ready, I'm going to get on with my new segment called Forced Fun Facts.
I like it already.
Just got a few here. Here we go.
I'm excited. I haven't been this excited since 1998 when I went to Disneyland.
Anyone's with numbers, you know, they're not fun.
No, they could be.
It's just a fact. So in 1955, as I was saying, in the latter part of the year, because it was only open for part of the year, they had about somewhere around 1 million visitors. Then the last number I saw was 2014. The number was up to 17 million in the year.
Wow.
which is
$17 million
per year.
Yeah.
Wow. That's crazy.
The number up to recently through the park overall, they've had more than 750 million visitors.
Oh, in the 60 years?
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow.
That seems like a lot of people.
But there's also got to be a few repeats, you know?
It's funny what I know about numbers is not a lot, right? So I read it, and the first way I read it was the most recent year was 650 million. I'm like, yeah, that's really
that's
good.
That's a lot, yeah.
And then like, oh no, that's forever. Also a lot, I guess. I have no idea. I mean,
what,
you're
thinking
numbers.
That they could have 2 million people come in a day.
I was like, wow, yeah, great.
You're like one quarter.
That's a good business, I imagine. Like, as long as overheads aren't too crazy, I reckon they're making a profit with 650 million people in a year.
Can you imagine how big the car park would have to be for 2 million people to come a day?
Really big, I imagine. Maybe, you know, say 3 or 4 people per car. Some people in buses.
So maybe
what is that, like 7 million car parks?
You get a minivan.
That 9 million. Look, I don't know.
You get a minivan.
Minivans, all right. Well, that probably makes it, well, let's say that makes it, what, 15 million car parks.
Easy. Jeez, Dave. Drama queen.
So is that kind of the right maths there? 20 million car parks. Is that right?
That's if everyone drives themselves.
Everyone drives 10 cars.
Well, it's the United States of America. Who knows?
Oh, you know, it's the age of excess. So that's how I'd do it. I drive a car to Disneyland, I walk back to my hotel, drive another car.
Repeat 10 times.
Yeah. It's the only way I live. And the hotel's quite a while away.
It's worth it. I've never been
but
on
you
a
know
ride.
What? Fuck them. I don't give a shit.
Yeah. They want
to
build.
I leave those cars there as well. They're garbage to me. I don't need them. I have another 10 run. Cars the next day.
If they build a 100 million space car park, someone's going to use it.
Yeah. Fact.
And that's a fact.
And that's a fact. Take it to the bank. So we're talking about the different areas of the park. Tomorrowland, which was pretty much underdone, was initially based on the future time of 1986.
Oh, what a world.
A magic wow. time. A couple of the predictions that they'd made, and it was, they said it wasn't just like, you know, this wasn't Fantasyland. This was Tomorrowland where, and they had scientists and futurists mapping out what they how they actually saw 1986 to be, which, as we know, is always some things they get right,
some
but
things.
A lot of it is just like
yeah. What do they? What funny. Do they predict?
A couple of the predictions were that a trip to the moon will be an everyday thing
in 30 years.
Yeah,
wow. They no. haven't been since the 70s.
Yeah,
no one's been.
No one's been every day.
Do we even know it's still there?
Yeah, I have no idea.
No proof.
I mean, you can.
I can't think of a way of finding it. I just can't.
Well, we'd have,
you'd have
to go
there.
And no one has.
And if they, well, if they're not going there, it's probably not there.
Yeah.
There's a reason for these things.
You reckon? Do you reckon it goes all the way to the top?
Yeah. All the way to the top of that bank.
Yeah.
Where you cashed the fact before.
The other one, which, so the, that's a pretty grand idea.
It's amazing.
Trip to the moon every day.
And 30 then, years later, no, that's not a thing.
The other one I liked, which is probably slightly less grand, was that there'd be a clock that could show the time anywhere in the world.
Okay.
At the same time, okay. With like hundreds and hundreds of seconds, minutes, and hour hands.
Yeah, yeah. It's just this really
yeah, it's just covered.
Thing.
You just
you
can't tell.
Read it at
but
all.
They had it. They,
well, I think it's 7 o'clock somewhere.
They built one, and it was one of the it was the big statue thing in that area of the park was this clock that could show the time, and it was yeah a huge thing that was. Super unnecessary. Why anyone would need to know that anyway?
Yeah.
Sorry, I was getting distracted by Xavier Michaelides. Doing that funny voice he does. I'm looking forward to seeing their show. You're gonna see
oh,
their
it's
going to
be so good.
It's a late night show, so we should all be able to go.
Yes.
Okay, so I reckon that was a funnish fact, even if it was a little forced.
No, I enjoyed it.
I enjoyed it.
This one, to me, is amazing. I love this fact so much. A couple of weeks, this isn't strictly about the opening, but it was a couple of weeks after the opening, a tiger and a panther in a circus parade broke loose and staged a furious death struggle on Main Street in USA.
That is what? Amazing.
Well, that was like, a direct quote, furious death struggle.
As in they were fighting each other to the death?
Yes. Well, I think that should be the name of your heavy metal band.
Furious death struggle.
Oh, man. So good.
Well, I imagine that the tiger would have absolutely destroyed the puma.
Right. Yeah. Interesting.
You're not sure?
You brought some facts to it. That was all. I didn't look into it anymore. Furious death struggle was all I needed.
You don't know who won the furious death struggle.
But you're right. Tigers are the biggest cats in the world.
By far.
Oh, well, yeah. So pumas are one of the smaller end of the...
Yeah.
Of the big cats.
A lion's not bigger than them?
No, lions.
No, tigers are bigger.
A lion second?
Yeah, but tigers are longer, stronger, and heavier.
Long, strong.
And heavier.
And about to get the friction on.
Because there's...
Oh, like in a death struggle kind of way, Jess. Your face is saying that I was talking about some sort of a sex thing. I was just talking about a death struggle.
Yeah, just struggling to kill the other one. I think, because there's often a debate about whether a lion or a tiger would win.
Sure.
And I think most people conclude that a tiger would win because they hunt solo, but lions hunt in packs.
Right.
Like packs. Dickheads.
Like dickheads. And also, tigers are bigger, and I think there's been a couple of instances where a tiger and a lion have both broken loose, and the tiger usually wins.
You've got tigers on your t-shirt.
Oh, I do too.
I do have tigers on my t-shirt because I back a winner.
So that death struggle one, which I enjoyed clearly much more than you guys
did. No, that's great.
No, I definitely, like, but I just want to know.
Kids just like...
Yeah. Don't do act outs on a podcast.
Oh no, the tiger's trapped in the asphalt.
It's like, yay, a tiger! Oh my god! Mom!
And I was also picturing it like what's the word for making animals humans?
Anamorphing
them to like a couple of drunken guys that are doing a bar fight where they're like putting their paws around each other's throats, and then they're flipping ones underneath.
I think the word you're looking for is anthropomorphize.
Anthropomorphize. Well, I did not say that right, and no. It was just repeating what you said. And I couldn't. One more time.
Anthropomorphize.
Anthropomorphize. And what did I say? What did the word I say?
You said
mean?
I said anamorphic.
Anamorph, which is that 90s show where they could turn into animals.
So, okay.
In a way, I was right.
Okay, Dave.
Okay.
So what's
beef? The main problem?
What's your beef? So this one's from history.com. Within a couple of weeks of the opening, nearly all of the 36 cars on the Autopia, which was Walt's dream of a utopian miniature freeway, which children could learn respectful rules of the road.
Oh, sounds like a lame ride.
Yep. Within a couple of weeks of that opening, nearly all of those 36 cars were wrecked by aggressive drivers who crashed into one of the other vehicles.
Yeah.
What? Even in... What?
Because dodging cars are way more fun.
So people are smashing the cars... For fun.
Are they like little cars you can just drive around the park? Yeah. Oh my god, that's such a great idea though.
Yeah, oh, there was a track. So there was
really cute.
Yeah. That was fun. That's what Frank Sinatra was in.
Ah, I see now. Yeah. So a little car, but then people just kept crashing them into
Prime
each other.
Prime suspect number one.
Yeah.
Yeah, wow.
Cool.
Oh, I think he was known as Gary, I guess, at that stage.
Yeah, Gary Sinatra.
Frank, yeah. Gary Sinatra.
I mean, yeah, later that day the name had started getting around a bit. So.
But, you know, like, there wasn't social media then. You couldn't spread a nickname as quickly, so...
There was a bit of time where he was known as Gary Frank Sinatra. Uh-huh. And then eventually...
I'll just say,
like
Frank
Gary.
Yeah. Like Dwayne the Rock Johnson.
Yeah, exactly.
Gary the Frank Sinatra.
Yeah, and then he dropped Gary, and then he dropped the...
The.
So he was the Frank Sinatra for a little while.
Okay.
The Frank Sinatra.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Well, it was the Frank Furter Sinatra.
Uh-huh. And then just Frank.
Yeah.
You
don't need the whole bloody...
He went through a serious phase.
Yeah, he did.
It's kind of like how Frank Prince was the artist formerly known as Prince for a while there. It's just a symbol. It's kind of like that.
Yeah.
The artist formerly known as Gary Frankenfurt Sinatra.
It's interesting. We haven't had a hashtag today, but maybe hashtag Gary Sinatra is...
Hashtag Gary Sinatra. I reckon that's the winner.
All right. Although we did get a tweet this week saying hashtag leave the hashtags to Jess.
Sure did. Well, I've...
Well, we got that a few weeks ago whenever we got it. We got it at some point.
I've got a few more minutes to come up with one.
Okay, great. Well, if you can beat hashtag Gary Sinatra. Yeah.
Good luck.
So yeah, I thought that was fun. I was just like, it's that one. It wasn't that fun or funny, but it was super heartbreaking. You just picture Walt Disney with this thing. It's gonna be a utopia. Everyone's gonna learn respect for the road and each other, and they like just within them. Weeks.
I think it's hilarious that they just weeks, fucked
nearly
his cars.
All of them were fucked. Oh,
I think it's funny.
I just like Walt after closing, standing, looking over this pile of car rubble, just with a single tear. Isn't that heartbreaking?
Aww.
Poor Walt. And okay, one last one here. Due to the lack of adequate preparation time leading up to the opening, they ran out of time to clear the weeds that had sprouted along the banks of the canal.
Canal.
I'm losing all confidence in my ability to read words.
Canal.
I'm
like,
this is wrong.
Canal.
I'm going to start again there. Canal. That's canal. Bad, isn't it?
I'm amazed that you didn't. Have you never come across the word?
No, I know it well, but it's just like me going, oh no.
Just overthinking it.
Yeah. Canal. What's happened? This is, all I'm seeing is sea anal.
That's very funny. Sea anal. Otherwise known as canal. Yeah.
Due to the lack of adequate preparation time leading up to the opening, they ran out of time to clear the weeds that had sprouted along the banks of the canal boats. All I can see is sea anal when I read canal. Did I pause there?
A little too long, yeah.
Canal.
Canal, sea not anal.
Sea anal. Sea anal run. Run, anal, run.
So there's lots of bushes along the...
Yeah,
a lot of
bushes of weeds along the sea anal boats.
Is that that big a deal?
Of the world, right? It wasn't that big of a deal, but it was obviously a bit messy. And so to cover this, Walt ordered workers to place signs with exotic species names in Latin next to them.
That's so clever.
Are you serious?
But that almost would have taken more effort than just ripping out the weeds.
Yeah, he's had to go to a sign writer, approve it.
That does sound like maybe that is a bullshit thing, because that doesn't make any sense.
Because in the time that they like are delicately placing the sign, they could just rip out the weeds.
Yeah, there must have been a crazy amount of weeds. I guess it's a long canal, maybe. And they were just sort of like sprinkling signs.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah, that was my favorite one, so I thought I'd end on that.
That's great.
That's very good. Have you ever seen... There's a video, I don't know if it's online anymore, John Safran, you know, the sort of media personality as radio and TV shows. His first break into media was he did a competition on ABC called Race Around the World.
Yeah.
Where they sent different young contestants around the world to film videos, and he filmed one at Disneyland, and he films himself breaking into Disneyland.
Oh my god.
Wow. It's really fantastic. And then he goes on there's a whole World After All ride and places his own toy, and he puts up, I think, plaques underneath Walt Disney's photos because he was a famous anti-Semite.
Really?
Allegedly.
What?
Yeah, apparently.
And then John Safran is of Jewish heritage, and yeah, he puts up these official looking like golden plaques underneath the thing. Yeah,
oh,
so it's quite an amazing video.
Well, so during the opening ceremony, they said something, I should have written it down, but they said something like, we've got representatives from all three major faiths, Protestants, Catholics, and Judaism. So they had
it there. Well, there you go. It's just a rumor.
I love a world where two of the three major faiths, and I mean, all three of them are very closely related, but the first two are basically, they're Christianity.
Yeah.
Yeah, the same.
And then they had, I think it was Walt's nephew read a prayer, and they all said a prayer, and it was all super patriotic stuff as well about America being, you know, having the answers and hoping that the world could get on board, you know, with their idea of freedom that they came up with and stuff like that. Did you know America came up with freedom?
Well, yes, I did.
Yeah.
Famously.
They told me so. Cool. Well, yeah, that's it.
Any
questions, any comments?
I would like to know, and I get you don't have it in front of you, so it's a very Warnocky thing to do to ask.
Yeah, that's right. Trying to put you on the spot.
But I would like to know how many staff the park has, like how many people are working there. Because the Apple store, right, just as an example, I used to work directly opposite one of the biggest Apple stores in Australia, I think in Melbourne, and they had 200 staff members. Not, they wouldn't all be on at the same time, but they had 200 staff members. So I'm imagining 100 acres, you know, thousands, hundreds of thousands of visitors every day. How many staff do they have?
There was, I did see, and I've got it written down here somewhere. Oh, okay, yeah. So off the Wikipedia, so you never fully know how true this is, but they, according to a March 2005 Disney company report, 65,700 jobs are supported by the Disneyland Resort.
Okay, so that's a resort.
Including about 20,000 direct Disney employees and 3,800 third-party employees. That's not really answering your question, but it's vaguely related.
It's a lot. And, you know, they have, like, secret tunnels underneath the park.
Really?
Yeah, one of my friends worked there, and you're not allowed to talk about it, but she confirmed there are tunnels, and that's how they get around. Because you never see, like, you never see any of the staff, like...
you never see them walk through a door.
Yeah, I guess, and especially at the characters and stuff. Yeah. When they clock off, they can't just take their head off.
They go through tunnels underneath. And... when I was in Disneyland, my dad always tells a story of, like, this ute pulling up with all these guys with bins. So, they're just cleaners. And then they start, like, playing the bins and they're secret musicians.
That's a little bit dismissive when you said just cleaners.
But that's what I mean, because you're supposed to just think, oh, just a couple of cleaners. But that's the thing, you never notice the cleaners in Disneyland.
Don't look twice at the cleaner.
I mean, it's an important job. You know, if there's no cleaners, then rubbish is piling up.
But if there's no musicians... then what?
Well, you know.
Yeah, exactly. The world.
You get on with your life.
No, you don't.
In a way, cleaners are the, the heroes of the park.
There's no bin musicians, is more specifically.
Are you done?
You're done. Well, I think we are just about done here. Matt, so Jess and I are going to try and find some childhood photos of us at Disneyland and tweet them out and look in the background to see if we can see each other.
Yeah, I'm going to look through that photo album.
Yeah, and there's a great amount of photos from that day, so I'll find a few fun ones to tweet out.
The first day, that'd be great.
And also, I'll send out a link to the broadcast and see if anyone can see Bob Cummings macking on,
getting his mac on
in the background.
Yeah, behind the back, and his wife she was only a couple of feet away.
Oh my god!
I imagine she was in the park,
and it was a live broadcast. Oh my god! How do you think you could get away with it? How did he think? We'll be tweeting out all this stuff and chucking it on our Facebook page, which is Do Go On Facebook, and we're at Do Go On Pod on Twitter. You can email us, dogoonpod@gmail.com. If, like Evan, you want us to talk about your topic.
I should say, I should thank Evan for that. It was a great topic. It was something that I've never had any interest. I was in America a couple of years ago. I was in California. I had no interest. Never even thought about going, but I reckon if I was back there now, just to see the place where all this crazy shit happened.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's the most wonderful place in the world.
Yeah. So I'm pretty stoked with people sending in ideas like that. The hat is starting to bulge with ideas, but keep them coming, because we're going to do this we'll do this forever if that's what it takes.
Until the end of time.
I'm going to do it till the end, until the hat is empty, at least.
So we've got at least a few more weeks coming out of Do Go On Pod.
The problem is that the hat, there's more things going into the hat than are coming out of it. Like, we get multiple suggestions a week.
Well, you're the only one who has the hat.
And I'm the only one. I should pass the hat around.
Yeah, pass the hat around for Jess, who's going to be doing the report next week. Jess, we look forward to hearing from you then.
Thank you. I thought you always look forward to hearing from me at any time, because my inputs are always so well thought out, like this one.
Yes, we do enjoy your inputs. Thank you. Thank you so much. And, I guess that's it. Thank you, and see you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.